This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Today, I'll be speaking on the topic, the relationship between power and dreams. The relationship between power and dreams. When a man has nothing that is materially, he has no money in the bank, he has no prospect, all he can have at that time will be his dreams. Dreams are an abstract concept of a conceived reality. You see, you are thinking, one day I'll be rich. You are thinking it. One day I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have houses. I'm going to have cars. I'm going to build a country in Mars. I'm going to have my own currency. I'm going to be the president of the world. I'm going to create a political party that will work. I'm going to build a railway from Nigeria to Ivory Coast. I'm going to be the one to dredge the water channels and turn the water channels of Africa into a glorious economy. I'm going to be the first person to go into tourism and turn tourism into a global market. I'm going to be the first person to build the first glorious safari in Africa. I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. All that are dreams. There is no measure or limits to how far a man can dream. If you want to limit a man, I've seen parents say it to their sons or their daughters. I remember somebody close to me saying that when she was single, she used to tell her mother that, hey, one day I'm going to be married, and I'm going to be married to this kind of person, and I'm going to live this kind of life. And the mother would say, what if your husband is not like that? What if you ended up marrying somebody that is struggling? What if you ended up with somebody that cannot even take care of himself? And she would then tell the mother, no, no, no. I know the kind of person God will give me. And well, our dreams came to pass. And one day we were talking, and the person told me, this was what I insisted on it. Even my mother would tell you that this was what I've always insisted. You cannot take away a man's dream. You cannot tell somebody in Yoruba language, they will say, anyway, fair. What do they mean? They mean that your dreams are too big. Your dreams are too big. Limit your dreams. No! No, 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 no. You poor must have their dreams. Somebody that has nothing, the only glory that he or she will wear is his dream. He would have it in the abstract, because from the abstract, it will produce the substance of it. A man without dreams is a dead man. Only the dead don't dream. And when I say dream, of course, you know, I'm not talking about all the dreams where they are chasing people in the dream. All those ones are effigies of nonsense, of alternate realities that do not bind or gel or work in concert with the Word of God. Dreams are deliberate promptings from the abstract, from the mind of every individual. If I ask all of us listening to me today, what's your dream? What's your dream? You know, some of us on this call now, the dreams we had 10 years ago, we've already fulfilled them. Because we dreamt it at that time, now we are living in the reality of it. Somebody who didn't have any dream that time wouldn't even know whether he has fulfilled anything or not. That is somebody that is living by chance. So anything that happens to you happens. No wonder so many people end up in Kirikiri and Alagbo and dead and thrown away and kidnapped. Because they really do not have prevailing dreams. So when a man has nothing, the one thing he must always strive to have must be his dream. So it is good for all men to be dreamers. It is important that all men are dreamers. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 29, you see Jacob. The Bible said he had nothing. The Bible said he had with him his staff, no food, no water. He was going to the house of Laban. When he got to a place and it was dark, he had no tent. So he took a stone and put it on the road, and he put his head on the stone, not afraid of anything that could kill him or eat him, and then he slept. As soon as he slept, what did he have? He had a dream. He had a dream, because dreams are born of our anxieties, concerns, convictions, belief. So imagine a young man that left his father's house. Just imagine. The young man left his father's house with nothing. He had to run away from home because his brother wanted to kill him. And so he ran, and as he was going into a future that wasn't certain. What do you think the young man will be thinking of? I hope I'll be accepted where I'm going. I hope I will prosper there. I hope it will be well with me there. I hope I will not get there and they will say Laban is dead. I hope they will not get there and they will say I've missed my way. He would be thinking of many things. And so when he laid his head on that stone to sleep, the substance of his worries, of his thoughts, of his beliefs came alive. He saw himself standing and said, he saw a ladder going up into the heavens, and then he saw angels ascending and descending on that ladder. That was a very huge vision. But for the purpose of this class, let me call it a dream. The reason I call it a dream is because there was no interpretation of it at that time to him. He didn't know what he had seen. There was no interpretation whatsoever. If you do not get an interpretation to something while you are in it, then surely it's a puzzle. So when he woke up, he said, hey, God is here and I do not know it. So he didn't know God was here. If I had known, I would have spoken to him. I would have talked to him. I would have held his garment. I would have said, God, please give me assurance. So you notice what he did after. He knelt down and made a covenant with God. He said, oh, I'll give you tithe. And that was not what God wanted. God never wanted any man's tithe. What does God have to do with your tithe? God wants you. God wanted Jacob. God revealed himself to Jacob that Jacob may reveal himself to God. Let me say that again. God revealed himself to Jacob. This is me. I am your God. So Jacob saw God. But Jacob refused to reveal himself to God. So a lot of us, we don't reveal ourselves to God, even after God has revealed himself to us. And it is important that you reveal yourself to God, that you say, God, this is me. This is me. Accept me as I am. I am sorry. This is me. This is my, this is me. I am. This is me. A lot of us, in the presence of God, we think we have substance. We do not. All things before God are an illusion. For all realities are his making. Do you understand? It's like a child that has a crayon in his hand and a drawing book. If the child decides to draw an ant, that ant is a product of the child's imagination. If after drawing it, the child picks up an eraser and the child decide that I'm not doing an ant again and I want to draw an elephant, he or she will just cancel out everything and then draw an elephant. That is how all of reality is before God. God is the one that is drawing the reality of all of us. We are mere pencils in the hand of God and mere creatures of his pen, not even the pencils. But Jacob didn't know that. But Jacob realized this in Genesis 35. You see, that was where you realized that he knew what happened at Bethel. He went back. He went back this time to have a conversation with a God he refused to reveal himself to earlier, so that that God can intercede, can step into his life and help him. When a man has only his dream, he lacks the power to execute the dream, but he can dream. I'm moving on to the second part of the class. In the first class, in the first 10 minutes, I've established that a man can be poor, a man can have nothing, a man can be poor, a man can have nothing, but he or she must have her dreams, his strengths. Now, in the second part, I will try to establish to you the importance of receiving the power to execute your dreams. So we've seen so many people who have dreams, but they didn't receive the power to execute their dreams. You know, somebody would tell you 20 years ago, oh, I want to go into cocoa farming. I want to modernize the cocoa farming system. I want to do this, I want to do that. The person will speak so loftily of their dreams. A year will go by, 2 years will go by, 3 years will go by. There will be no means to execute the dream. Before you know it, the same person will go and get a job, will get a job as a janitor somewhere or as a gateman somewhere. 5 years will go. He becomes a slave to his needs. 10 years will go. Yeah, he has responsibilities now, wife and children. 15 years will go. Oh, 20 years will go. One day that glorious dream will have faded because there was no power to bat the dream. Power is needed to bring the substance of the abstract into reality. Remember how the scripture say that it will be like a woman that is pregnant, but on the day of labor, she had no power to push. You see, it is a baby in the womb is a dream. It's like a dream. But there has to be power to birth the dream, to make it real. Let me show you. I'd rather say Joseph had dreams, but did you notice that Joseph never had power? Never had the power to fulfill his dreams when he had nothing. But he had dreams. He had not only dreams, he only also had the ability to interpret the dreams of others. So the Bible said he began to use his gifts of interpretation of dreams to sell himself. See, he wasn't selling his dreams. He was selling himself. What was he selling? Himself. He couldn't tell anybody his dreams. He, as a slave. A slave is not entitled to have a dream. So as a slave, how could he tell his master that I saw the sun and the moon bowing to me? The master will say, will you shut up? So he cannot sell his dream as a slave, but he could sell himself. So how did Joseph sell himself? He became diligent. He acquired skill, the ability to lead, accounting, honesty, integrity. He became very proficient in his place of work. His boss saw that, man, this young man is diligent. I bought him for how much? 20 shekels of silver or gold. And this guy has more than proven that he's worth much more than that. Potiphar said, I'm going to put you in charge of all my affairs. You have a good head for numbers. You have integrity. You are well behaved. You conduct yourself with integrity. You are a good guy. And suddenly, Joseph rose, not his dreams, himself. He himself rose, not his dreams. In order for you to gain the power to execute, to bat your dreams, you must sell who? Say it. You must sell yourself. You are the architect of the reality of whether your dreams will come to pass or not. People go with, they write their dreams on paper. I've seen it several times. When I got my first job here in Lagos, I worked for a firm that was trying to copy Oladipo to his firm. So this guy, he came from South Africa. He said, oh, this is what I will do. We'll be helping people to write business proposal. We'll be helping them to break down their proposals into achievable goals. We'll be helping them to look at how much each of their dreams will cost, and then we'll try and see if they can get them funding, and then that's what we'll be doing. So my first job ever out of university was to work for this man, and he talked to me, said, oh, this is it. Somebody will come to you. You ask them, okay, what do you want to do? And the person says, oh, I want to start a breakfast outfit in Antony. Then you say, okay, Location. Okay. What are the possible costs of location? Okay. What do you want to serve? Okay. Who are you targeting? And all that. So they will bring their dreams to me verbally. I would listen to their dreams. I will break down their dreams into achievable goals. I'll type them out. We'll bind it. And then we'll look at how much it will cost for the person to be able to start the business. And then when the person says, okay, we are looking at 10 million or 20 million to start this business, we put generator, put fuel, put first 6 months of whatever staff, whatever. We put everything together and say, yeah, you need 20 million to start this business. And then we give back to the person. No, we are supposed to take it and look for funding, but our business does not go. We talk about that, but we don't do that. We just help the person break down their dreams into achievable goals. Then the person pays my boss for consultancy. And believe me, I worked on so many briefs. People have great dreams. People came in, I want to have nail salon. I want to do spa. I want to do manicure and pedicure. I want to do, one came and said he was going to do a street light, that it will be branded with the Nigerian telecommunications outfits of the time. Red will show Equinix. Green will show Globacom. Yellow will show MTN. He said he was going to do the customized thing, and then he was going to go to this outfit and get, what do they call it, endorsement and sponsorship, so that at every place they put the street light, when we get to red, you just see Equinet instead of just red. And when you get to green, so they came up with sorts of crazy, beautiful ideas. There was one idea particularly that even I cried. The idea was beautiful. This guy came up with this idea. He came to our office and he came up with this idea. He said, he noticed that there is no insurance, there's no travel insurance attached to road transportation in Nigeria. So he came to us and discussed with us. He said he had gone to the NUFTW, he had gone to all the people that are doing inter-country travels, he has spoken to them, he has spoken to their logistics, that there is no insurance, travel insurance for road travelers that is effective. So therefore, this is what is proposed. He said, if the transport from a place to a place is, for example, 500 naira, he's proposing that they increase that to 550 naira. So each passenger will pay 550, but 50 naira will be for insurance. That insurance, they will then collect it from the people who are collecting money at the bus stops. We put it in a bank, and then we begin to use it to do trade within the system, the way they do with pension. And that if anybody there has any road mishap, they can draw from it. It was a beautiful idea. You know what? When I listen to the person speaking, this man, as he spoke, I saw his eye light up. The idea was beautiful. He was sold out on the idea. You know what we did? We then helped him break it down to achievable goals, and then we made a mistake. We said, oh, so who can we meet to partner with you? Because that's what we do. We try to find funding. Who can we meet to partner with you? Who can we meet to talk with you? Who can sponsor? Who can we use to invest in this idea? This idea is good. And then a company came to mind and we said, oh, these people, yeah, go and talk to them. Who was with him? We went to Lagos, Victoria Island together. We went to this particular company. We gave them the brief. I was there. He was there. One other sister who was also in my company was two of us from the company. This man himself went there. And then we got there, we took the proposal there. And you know what companies do? When you bring the proposal, you meet the guy at the front desk. They will tell you, okay, we will sign a copy. You will take a copy away, and then we will keep a copy. So we insisted. We said, no, we wanted to see one of their managers, the one in charge of their corporate social, corporate, social, whatever that we don't want. So eventually they took us to this guy because we insisted. When they took us to the guy was just looking at the paper, looked at us, looked at the paper, looked at us. Then he signed, it was KIV on it. Pay attention, KIV. And then he told us, oh, we keep it in view. The company does not have the resources to support this kind of idea for now. Ladies and gentlemen, 3 months later, I opened the newspaper. I saw this man that wrote KIV standing with the Minister for Transportation in Nigeria, standing with NGRGW people. He has taken the idea. He has sold it to them. They have signed a memorandum of understanding. They implemented it. It did not even report us. Hey, lacking power to bring your dream to life. Somebody has power. This guy had a dream, but he didn't have the power to bring his dream to life. And so we took the dream and peddled it. That's what I said earlier. I said, sell yourself. Sell yourself. If I had this voice at that time, I would have told the man, oh, this is a beautiful dream. Keep it. Right? Then I'll tell him, you need to now sell yourself. Sell yourself. How do you sell yourself? Oh, go. Work with them. A brief stint with the people in charge of logistics, people in charge of transportation. Get yourself known. Build a name. Give yourself 2-3 years. Then when you are at the right seat, you will say, okay, I have an idea. In any organization, that idea was going to bring them millions upon millions every blessed day. Every blessed day, as long as people are traveling, money will be coming in. So there's no organization you go to that you cannot sell that. But it has to be an organization that has a little bit of money and clout that can sell it globally, nationally, so that they will not hijack it. If you implement it at the local government level, you just somebody else will hijack it at another level. So this is how ideas are stolen every day. But this is my point. He took his dream, put it on the paper, and somebody else stole it. Oh, we went back to the office. They refused to let us. As soon as they said where we are from, they said, the man is not on seat. He's not on seat. He cannot see us. Until all our transfer money finished. Oh, may you know before. The rich will take advantage of the poor anytime, any day. And all the poor has is his dream. And it is from that dream that he is hoping to bring the substance of his future. You see, he is holding on to his dream, knowing that in this dream, I will one day become great in life. But when you read of the dream, you give him despair, you give him hopelessness. And then he loses faith and he resigns himself to life as it is. Do not let anybody steal your dreams. So first, you must have a dream. Second, you must sell yourself. So what did Joseph do? Joseph sold himself. So he sold himself to Potiphar. Potiphar bought him, hook, line, and sinker, until Potiphar's wife came and decided that she wanted to buy into Joseph. Now, she wanted to buy into him the wrong way. And Joseph said, no. I will not sell myself this way. This is not how I'll sell myself, because there are people that want to buy your dream, but they want to buy into you and they will offer you all sorts. As a young minister of the gospel, I was offered a lot by pastors of many churches, not one, who saw the workings of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And one of them invited me to his church to do a 3-day crusade. Day one, the power of the Holy Spirit so well that by second day, there was no seat outside. The meeting happened at K2, and by day two, everywhere was locked up, tabbed up, because people saw the power of God day one. And then when they saw the crowd day two, this pastor invited me to the service and he said, the Spirit of God said, I should tell you. As I was praying this morning, the Spirit of God said, I should tell you that he wants to use you for this, for us. He wants to use you to develop our permanent sites. We can see the grace of God, but we have to use this grace the right way. We want you to use this grace to raise money for us today. Yesterday, people were blessed. My wife was blessed. Till midnight, we were just thanking God. Ah, hey, this young boy, God. Ah, out of the mouth of babes, God. But then God then told us that he brought you here for a time like this. We've been trusting God to develop our permanent site. And now that the covenant is here, we don't know when they will come again. So today, when you are calling prayers, please call them. Those who are ready to give 1 million to me, they will respond to you. And my dear, they are not doing it for free. They are going to give you a good percentage that you will take home. Yeah. They want to turn me to that guy that was saying that somebody was holding flag that the person will not become president. I would never be that kind of Christian. Come and sow seed. For what? I said, what? The man said, that is what the Spirit of God said I should tell you. See? That was Potiphar's wife. That was the behavior of Potiphar's wife. Those who want to buy into you the wrong way. Of course, I walked away from that service. They didn't even know when I left. Because at the time, my car was parked at my office in Magudu. It was a bike that I took to that church. So I just wore my jackets and I pretended as if I was going to use the restroom. I just left. And I left. And I didn't look back. It was just like Joseph did. Just that this time, nobody took my jacket. I took my jacket myself. I never forgot that day. But people would notice you when you begin to sell yourself. Don't sell your dreams, sell yourself. So Joseph began to sell himself. Don't forget, I said he was selling himself. He didn't go into prostitution. He didn't go to steal in order to make money to start a business. He didn't go into fraud. No. He began to use his talent to sell himself, to sell his name. So they threw him in prison. And when he was in prison, what did he sell? Himself. See? Aha! Because it is the person who has the dream that must also acquire the power to bring his dream to life. Otherwise, you will dream and somebody else will birth it. In some instances, that's not a bad idea. David had a dream to build a temple. Solomon built the temple. That's perfect. That was very good synergy. You see, it is in line with God's plan. But for the poor to have a dream, to lack the power to birth the dream, and for the rich to steal the dream and birth it and give the poor nothing. Oh my. It is one of the worst things that can happen to a poor person. Once you take away his ability to dream, he's half dead. So Joseph did not look at the fact that he was in prison. In prison, he began to sell himself the same way, integrity, hard work, diligence, interpretation of dreams, offering comfort, showing leadership, being there as a man of substance. Before you know it, even in prison, he began to rise in rank. People would come to him as a natural leader to talk to him. He became the voice of the prisoners. He became the one that began to ration their food. He became one of the big bosses, but not because he was a big criminal, but because he was a voice of reason, a shining light in a dungeon. Joseph sold himself so much. When they brought in two elites into the prison, who were serving in Pharaoh's court before there was a conspiracy to kill Pharaoh, and Pharaoh wasn't sure, you know, there was a conspiracy to kill him, and the conspiracy had to do with poison. And Pharaoh was not sure whether it was the person that served him bread or the person that served him wine, but he knew that the poison was put in his food and that it is either of those two that would be responsible for it. So he took the two of them and threw them in prison. He said, pending the time I will conclude my investigation, so that neither of you will run away. Prison. So he put them in prison and then he opened an investigation into them in order to ascertain who's guilty between the chief butler and the chief baker. And so when the two of them got into prison, they got worried. They were no longer able to influence the outcome of the investigation because they were in prison. No, they were held incommunicado. So they didn't know what was going on the outside. But they both know that one of them will lose his head, or both of them will lose their head. But somebody tried to poison Pharaoh, and therefore somebody will die. So the two of them then slept. Don't forget what I told you earlier, that the substance of people's thoughts, imagination, worries, anxieties, a thought pattern, what they are thinking about, is most likely going to form the basis of their dreams. So the both of them slept and they dreamt. One dreamt and saw himself carrying bread on his head, and he saw birds of the air come to eat from it. And he woke up worried. What does this mean? Does it mean I'm going to be released and I'll be selling bread on the streets? Does it mean? And then when he mentioned it to someone, the person said, oh, there's somebody here, you see? Because he sold himself, he was already known for his dreams. He was known for his abilities. He was known as a leader. He was known as a man of wisdom. He was known as a man of comfort. He was known as a man that could offer guidance, even in a dungeon. So this guy said, normally if I was outside, I would have consulted the oracle. But there is no oracle to consult here. And I had a dream. I would like somebody to interpret the dream for me. And then they said, Joseph can. And then he narrated the dream to Joseph. And Joseph looked at him and Joseph said, oh, sir, have you ever seen where they hang the person before? He said, yes. And they left the person there for many days. Yes. Do you notice that birds will come and be pecking the person, they will eat the person's head, eat the person's eyes, eat the person's ears? Said yes. He said yes. That was what you saw. The bread you saw on your head is not really bread, it's your own head. They are going to hang you, and then birds will hit your head. Oh boy. Oh boy. That was the bad news, but it was also good news. He gave the guy 3 days to quickly prepare and put his house in order, knowing that he was going to die. Oh, the chief butler was okay. Sir, please, why are they doing? Joseph said, oh, say no more. In 3 days, you'll be set free. The investigation of Pharaoh would have been concluded, and they would realize that you are not guilty. So they will give you back your position, and Pharaoh will compensate you for the days you spent in prison. And Joseph said it, and it was so. So Joseph sold himself. He didn't sell his dream. What was he looking for? The power to birth his dream. The power to bring his dream to life. It is very important that we all understand the substance of the reality we are walking in. That we should know that God gave us these dreams, and then God gave us ourselves, so that we can fulfill our dreams. The devil came to Jesus trying to buy his dreams. Jesus Christ told the devil that man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus refused to sell his dream. So rather, Jesus sold himself. So I teach you from the scriptures the substance of how to really walk in the fullness of the power of God. You must sell yourself in order to fulfill, to execute your visions, in order to sell your dreams. It is yourself first. So many of us here, we are young. We say, what do you want to be when you're old? I want to become a doctor. So they said, oh, that's your dream, right? You are going to be a doctor. Then how did you become a doctor? Those of us who are doctors here, you began to sell yourself. You went to school. You studied. You did all these studies. You did the MBBS. You wrote your exams. You traveled abroad, traveled at home. You wrote and wrote and wrote. You read and read and read. You did the Bible. You did chemistry. You did JAM. You did all these exams. What are you doing? You are looking for the power to fulfill your dream. That's what you are doing. Because without power, you cannot batch your dream. A lot of us have dreams, but because we are not selling ourselves the right way, we cannot achieve our dreams. If you want to become a politician, for example, a politician, any politician, apart from maybe Obama, I've read the stories of many politicians, and many of them, they can only rise by building others. So they will support other people. They will join caucuses. They would all tender, they will all talk, they will all back each other up, they will raise funds for each other, they will support each other. They do this together. A man that is alone, a solo man, does not automatically become anything. You cannot have the dream to say, oh, I have a dream. I want to invent this. I want to invent that, but I also want to live. Inventors usually would need a patron. Therefore, somebody has to buy into your dream, and the person would be willing to invest in your dream. And then the person would, in return, ask for a cut or a stake. When you become successful, this is the percentage that I'm paying for now. So I'm investing ahead because I can see that your dream has substance. There are so many ways, but first you sell yourself. You must sell yourself. You must prepare yourself. In studying, you must study. In praying, you must pray. In acquiring skills, you must acquire skills. In networking, you must network. In the basic of human decency, you must be found to be ranking very high. I mean that. Like Joseph, you must teach yourself integrity, honesty, how to love, how to talk, how to solve problems, how to have empathy. You must, these are the traits people look in before they invest in people. These are the traits people look at before they promote somebody to become their pastor, before they see somebody should become their MD, before they, I remember a friend of mine went for an interview. She said she got an invitation to come apply for a job at a company at the board level. She was going to be part of the management team. And she quickly went and consulted with people she knew who are at management level of different companies. What do I need to do? How do I scale through? And they told her, come with a good presentation. Come with this. They told her everything. She went and she prepared. Oh my. And on the day of the presentation, she got there and she aced it. She did so much. But there are four of them that they invited, and she was the best. But she didn't hear from them again. A month went by, 2 months, she couldn't take it. She said, those people, I'm not sure it's the best. The MD took my hand and said, my God, you are such a talent. If I could take you now, I would. But there is a clause in your current office that says that you must give them 6 months notice before you leave. Otherwise, I will have left. I will have taken you now. So that's your presentation. Oh, my God. That's what she knew. She hates it. She knew that she did so well. Why were they not falling? So by the third month, they sent a text to the general manager, said, "Sir, I've not heard from you guys. And I just for my own sanity, I would like to know, what did I do wrong? At least so that I can improve on my, what did I do wrong? Why haven't you reached out to me to pick me?" And they said, "Oh, you really didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't you. It was your person." She said, "Oh, I don't understand." We said, "Oh, in this company, we deal with a lot of money. We deal with foreign currency. We deal with international companies. We expect that the person that will work with us will be somebody we can, who is grounded. But here you are at 37. You're single. You're not married. You can just disappear into thin air. You have no husband, no children, no nest of kin." It became a problem for us because normally, you know, when people, before people commit a crime, they think of how to tell on their wife, how to tell on their children, how to tell on their spouse, how it will tell on family. Well, here you are. You are brilliant, you are exceptional, but we can't buy you. We are afraid that when you see the kind of money we move here, you could be easily persuaded. One of our competitors could whisper, could teach you on a date, could whisk you off your feet, you could fall in love. And then before we know it, you begin to betray trade secrets, or you begin to do things. So we are not. She said, "What? Palbinga, Sinky, flimsy excuse why they didn't take me." I said, "It's not flimsy. It's not flimsy. You may look at it because you want the job, that it is flimsy. But they also understand why they can't take you. You had everything, but you lacked the very thing that was necessary. So fulfill your dreams. You know that at that level, it will be very difficult for them to pick somebody who had no ties anywhere. Even when you want to travel abroad, they will tell you they will not give you visa if they cannot prove that you have good ties to your country. They will deny you because they expect that people should have ties, some family, but you have no ties. You didn't try to have any ties. You are focusing on one aspect of your career growth, but you are neglecting the other aspect. And so you came to the threshold of fulfilling your dreams, a dream of a lifetime. You prepared as if you are going to write exams. But ladies and gentlemen, life itself, the decisions we make, the little leaps we make, having a wife, having a husband, having children, they are part of life's examinations that you cannot write or do presentations with. And you must understand that it is not good to have a vision or a dream and then to lack the power to pass it or to miss out on the moment when you are supposed to pass it. It hurts to the bone. I'm coming to the final 10 minutes of my class. After you have received the Holy Ghost, you have received the power to pass your dreams. It is one of the most beautiful things about the Christian life. We do not need to break our head against the wall or be trusting God that one Pharaoh would help us. Because you know that Pharaoh had a dream and Pharaoh had the power to execute it. So Pharaoh had a dream, woke up, disturbed everybody. "I had a dream. I want the meaning. I had a dream. I want the meaning." Then they brought him to Joseph. Joseph said, "This is the meaning." And Pharaoh said, "Immediately." Because Pharaoh had what? What? You see, Joseph had had a dream since he was a child. He didn't have power to bat it. Pharaoh had power and a dream. So Pharaoh would bat his dream immediately. You see the difference? where somebody has the power. You can see that I'll be dreaming. One day I will drive a Prado. One day I will drive a Benz GLX. One day I will live in a mansion. And then somebody woke up in the morning and told his daughter, hey daughter, happy birthday. Hey, today you are 25. Come, have a surprise for you. And then he took the daughter to the place, and the daughter, I'm giving you the key to a house, I'm giving you the key to a car, I'm giving you, and then she, all the things I dreamt of. His father just gave them to her in one sitting. You see, because the father had the power. And he also had a dream. He wanted his daughter to have a house, wanted his daughter to have a car, wanted his daughter to have a job. So rather than be telling his daughter to pray and fast about it, just give them to her. Meanwhile, you can sit down and dream for 10 years for what somebody who had power could give immediately. I've never forget the saying what Mr. Ogunleye told me one time. I was looking for a job, and I applied to Punch newspapers. I wanted to be a journalist with Punch at the time. And this man had been their editor for many years before he left Punch. So the man read that and the man said, I heard you are looking for a job with Punch newspapers. I said, yes. The man laughed and said, you don't need God when you have a godfather. I'll make a call and they will call you tomorrow. And I kid you not. The next day I got a message from Punch. They said I should come in and write exams. I was like, no. Oh, there are people that have the power, to fulfill dreams. And then there are those who have dreams and no power. But you are trying to move from just having dreams to having the power to execute. And I said to you, you have the Holy Ghost. Many of us don't know how to put the Holy Ghost to use on our dreams. This makes me, I've thought about it several times, so you need to other teachings. But I'll tell you what I know for truth. What I know to be true, I'll tell you. And I was in university, there's this young man. He's in the ministry now, and he's listening now, I'm sure. He told me his dream. We were in the university, and he said, when we leave school, I want to have a farm. This was 2005. I want to have a farm. I want my business to be around that farming, merchandise, creating values for those who are trading. He articulated the dream. In fact, he and his girlfriend at the time, he didn't marry her. They were planning that they were going to buy a farm and move there and leave the world behind. In fact, at that time, I was scared. I said, God, separate him and this girl. Hey, they want to carry this guy into the forest, right? Because I was like, what kind of love is this one that they want to go and do in the forest? He tried. He did everything that normal people do. Got investors, pick the business, did this, did that. But then we came into the substance of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you. And I began to teach as I teach now. Because I've been teaching like this at least since 2019. I've been teaching. And I began to teach over and over. Because as I was sitting, my own life was also changing. Because all of us are at the same level. So I've got to teach. I've got to say, this is the way. When the Lord has given you power, the power of a Christian is in his mouth. Words are the currency of heaven. Words are the currency of God. When God speaks, everything, his dreams come to pass just of his voice. A Christian cannot be quiet. Be speaking it. Be saying it. When you're praying in tongues, call it to life. When you're praying in tongues, speak it to life. Declare it. Stand on it. It is your mandate. Giddy. Hata shata. He does see. This is how to do it. And I tell you for joy today. Everything that young man dreamt. That the young man is not me. So don't think I'm not a farmer. But the young man, everything he dreamt of has come to pass. And they are still scaling upward. And every time I look at the substance of him and how God turned his dreams into reality, just by doing not going to collect money from anybody, not collecting a big loan from anywhere, not running to the north, to the south, not, no. Just like sitting on it. This is it. Diligence. Yeah? Hard work. Yeah? But the dream, speaking it forth, he battled the power. He sold himself. He learned the skills. And then he battled the power to battle his dream. I remember one day he came to me and he said, I was trying to get a loan from one cooperative at my local area. And then they were giving me all sorts of rules and regulations. You must do this, you must do this, you must be contributing this. And then I said to myself, why don't you get a cooperative self? What do I have to do? Somebody told me, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And then, next thing I know, he owned the cooperative company. And then the immediate thing is his success. And I'm like, see, so I'm going to borrow. Now you are the cooperative. from this to borrow, because he wanted to get money to support his business. Suddenly he said, why am I borrowing when I can be the cooperative? So you see, that was, and God built it. The day you became born again, you received the power to birth your dreams. Say it. The day I became born again, I received the power to birth my dreams. Now, how did God birth his dreams in Genesis chapter 1? God had a dream. They wanted to turn a void into a fruitful place. God said, look at this place. There's just water. There are no trees. There are no rivers. There are no animals. Let there be light. See, God was batting his dream, and there was light. And then you will notice that God was finding these things as if he wrote them in a list. You see, all those places where you say you will do this, all the proposal we used to write for people I told you about, that we say these are the steps we will take to achieve this business. God was just reading step by step. He didn't miss any. First said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he said, separate the water. And then he said, okay, bring this one. Okay, take that one out. Okay, put this one. Okay, take that one out. Okay, let the fish come. Okay, let the birds come out of the river. Okay, let this, let the, and did everything step by step, by step, by step. And by day six, God was done. God has accomplished his dream. He not only had a dream, God had the power to execute his dream. That is where you must come to. This is the position that I want to bring you through this teaching. That, okay, I have a dream, and you are crying, God, send me help. No. God, let somebody bring money. No. No. Sell yourself. Teach yourself. Learn the skills. Be prepared. So have the brain and the capacity to handle it. And then call it forth. Call it forth. Stay on it. Stay on it. And then when it begins to gather, it will not look so. You don't be wanting one after the other. One after the other. It's not as if the big dream will come immediately. I never in my life saw GSW ever having a city. If somebody told me in 2018 that one day there'll be a city called GSW MI Newma City, and the city will have land and land and land, and I will tell the person, get deep behind me, Satan, for you have been sent to send me away from God's will. God said I should go and write. Who will agree? I'm telling you, I never imagined it. But the writing came first. And then the meetings followed. And then the miracles followed. And then supernatural increase came. And then one day I woke up and there was a city. Every time I go to any city, I was telling my wife when we went for the retreat, I said, I feel like David feels more at home here than me. Because when I go to any city, I feel like I'm a guest minister. I'll just go there, minister, and leave. Because I still can't wrap my head around it. University is just a fear, like, hey, oh my God. I still can't. And everything keeps growing and growing and growing. Why? Because there is power to execute the dream. I'm praying for you today that your dreams will not die. I'm praying for you that you would have the grace and the power and the willingness to to sell yourself to get all the things you need in order to birth your dreams. And I'm praying for you also, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would be the one to execute those dreams. In your lifetime, all abstract ideas will become substance. You would hold them in your hand and you will say, my God, this is my dream come true. In the name of Jesus, nobody will steal your dream. Nobody will hijack your dreams. Nobody will take the substance of your dream. You will not be left helpless. No, your dreams will come to pass. Thank you, Father. It's time to give our offering. Today's offering we give in tongues. So please give praying in the spirit. It's important that you listen to the substance of this. The copy the giana susita bidia nosh. He de beriana satu patia de gadabarota shasa. Ozibida shaku satabaro de gedebaniada gizo ziziane shasatabaroto shosiata. Banege shase de gedeberu katabaro de gedeberado shasuzia negedeberado shasiti. Bezuni da satu shasa tegos atibi de gado gaza. Ya gadabaroto shososososososososos. Regedusa naga shasu sede gai. Yede gadu gadabaroto shasatabarotosh. Rekopriada shasede gadabariado gashosososososos. Nipi, hidu, shikiada gadabarotosh ya ne paruka tabarotosh ya de gadabarotosh. Ne patigida gidibidi gidibizia sasha. Rakatibia leketepe. I said the substance of your dreams. I said the substance of the power of God in you. I said the substance of the grace of God in you. I said the substance of innovation. I said the substance of reality. I declare in the name of Jesus that your dreams are going to be living dreams, and the part of this death is impacted upon you. I declare in the name of Jesus, no matter how poor and lonely you are today, that the power of God in you and the grace that has given you to dream will bring you out of obscurity into greatness. You will fulfill the things that the Lord has given unto you. You will fulfill the mandate of God over your life. You will fulfill the divine mandate of God over your destiny. Your dreams will be accomplished. Your dreams will be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus, I declare it by the power of the Holy Ghost, everything you need to match your dreams and gather unto you. I declare that the substance of yourself that is required to draw help, to draw support, you have it in the name of Jesus. If there is anything in your life, if anything that is preventing your people to pass by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll remove them. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are free to fulfill destinies in Christ. In the name of Jesus, oh God, give me an ocean satire. Let give me an ocean satire. Give me an ocean satire. Let people know us. Let the girl that got a rope a shasta fire. He goes to be the other. Let the bina associate cases. Sociate got a road and the class to see the gadosh. Let the be a naki be the asusi gadibi the gassity a shakataya. Those who be the gas are taken to get the rota shining out of a rotish. This would be the other rota shasitia. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you are mounting upon wings like eagles. You are mounting, you are mounting, you are mounting. You are going and you are not weary. You are flying. You are not tired. Hey, let us make this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory. Hey.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.